level. There is preparation involved. There is homework that is done. There is training. There is training that was, trained. Kyler Murray is a very hard worker. I do believe that. I don't believe that he's one of those guys that just goes off pure talent. We've seen that scenario happen many times over. Now, that's not saying that he doesn't have no growing to do as a quarterback, because he does. Mm-hmm. Is he worth that money? Yes, absolutely. But Arizona had no business whatsoever putting that language in his contract, and even more over, he had no business leaking it out. What kind of employer, you want to work for that's gonna sit up there and spread out all your business, all your offices? This is embarrassing. But Kyler Murray, he signed the contract anyway. Why? It must be some truth to it all of a sudden. But if I was Kyler Murray, number one, I wouldn't have signed that contract. Number two, I'd have played under a franchise tag, or I would have played under something, played this one last year out and demand to be traded. Because that organization does not have your best interest at heart, number one. They don't care about your feelings, number two. And this is not the first time. I mean, they've been leaking this information like this out all offseason, as far as, you know, how he approaches the game, the misunderstandings that he has had with the organization, you know, people calling him childish and things of that nature. You don't need to hear about that about a professional football team, but the Arizona Cardinals have been leaking all this stuff out all summer long. So, needless to say, there's a rat in the building, and the streets need a body. somebody got to go out that organization, because they got too much going on. Too much going on that we should not know about. This kind of information should not be leaked. It's embarrassing to the quarterback. It's embarrassing to the organization, because if you're gonna require this man to do 4 hours of film study a week, and you're gonna put that in his contract, why are you gonna give him $230 million? Riddle me that. And then yesterday, they had this information removed off his contract, so they went and backtracked.
What? This is making any sense to me. So they had it in his contract to do 4 hours a week of film study.
Right.
Okay. Now, I would think that an athlete on his caliber, right, that he knows that he needs to do his film study. So I think it was unnecessary putting the contract. And then they go to add insult to injury. Now they go take it out. Why did they put it in the first place? I'm telling you, man, these front offices of these sports teams, some are ridiculous. And you wonder why your team is losing. Because the head of a fish stinks at the top. A fish starts stinking at the head, okay? And if the front office it stinks, guess what? It's a good chance your team is going to stink. Because that is the culture there. There is a defined culture that says, hey, these cats, they're overpaid executives. You know, they don't know some people call them the suits, right? The suits. And some of these cats, they are so stupid. The only thing they do, they put on a suit and pretend to do a job, and they really don't know how to do. This is absolutely ridiculous. And they're paying this man, what, $230 million?
Yes.
How much of that is guaranteed?
$160.
That's what I thought.
$160.
So, my thinking was, what if he said, no, I'm not doing 4 hours of that? I mean, you know, he signed and they said, no, okay, then he'll be in breach of contract. But no, that is dumb. That is dumb. Okay. So, the Cardinals this year, what is the makeup? Does it look like they can do anything? Are they going to be competitive? Are they going to win their division? How far do you think they're going?
Well, let me stop you right there. They're not winning this division. Okay? Let's just nip this.
That's right. Think you talked about that. Who's in that division?
You got the Los Angeles Rams. You got the San Francisco 49ers now, and you got the Seattle Seahawks.
Right. Well, we're not going to talk about the Seahawks
because they're irrelevant this year. They're probably, okay.
Would it surprise you?
That's probably the only, that's the only team that Arizona is not going, that Arizona is going to be better than.
Right. Well, then now, would it surprise you that I'm looking for a new team? Would it surprise you?
Well, I will not. Let me stop you right there. I will not interest you in the Arizona Cardinals.
No, I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks. That was my team.
Yeah, but Seattle Seahawks has more than 11 playoff appearances.
Yeah, I understand that.
Now, that's the total playoff appearances of this franchise.
Okay, and that's real good. But now they were dumb enough to get rid of Russell Wilson. Hey, Mark, I see Mark's on the set. What's going on, brother? Hey, Mark.
11 playoff appearances in almost 100 years. Yes. Their first championship was in 1925.
The Seahawks. It's,
yes. It was, and their last championship was 1947.
All right. Okay.
They have not been relevant since 2008. That's when they went to the conference championship. That was the last time they went to the Super Bowl, 2008.
Is that when they blew it?
Yes, that's when they blew it.
Okay, and I've been upset with them since then.
Yes.
And so it would surprise you if I'm going to freelance this year, right?
No, I mean, yeah, you can freelance. You can be a free agent.
I am a free agent.
But we're not landing in Arizona.
I didn't say I was going to Arizona. Mm-mm. No, I don't even like Arizona. It's too hot there anyway. Hey, Mark, you on the set? I see him on the screen there, but I can't hear him. But anyway, no. While we're waiting for Mark, let's get back to something you just brushed over real quick, and I didn't get a chance to respond because we had a little technical problem here. Can I go back and visit this Brittany Griner thing just for a second?
Oh, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, let me do that. Okay. I know, you see, Emil, you're a tough negotiator. All right? I can see that. All right? I understand your logic. Now, we offered Victor Boot, the Merchant of Death, for Brittany Griner and what's the other gentleman's name?
Paul Whelan.
Okay. Which I said, okay, yeah, I would do that deal. But I had a feeling that Russia was going to come back and make a counteroffer, right? I had a feeling they were going to do that. And now they want this other cat, Vadim Krasnikov. Okay. They want him. Now he is over in Germany. Convicted murderer, right? I say, give Russia both of those clowns, okay? Bring our two people home, okay? Not unless there's somebody else you might want to negotiate for, but I would do that deal. I'm going to tell you why. Now, Vadim Krasnikov, we already know, okay, is a convicted murderer. Victor Boot, all right, he is the Merchant of Death and illegally sold arms to nefarious people, countries, regimes, or whatever it is around the world. They're going to have to stay in Russia. They're going to have to stay. Do you think that Vadim and Victor, they can travel any way they want in the world after they get out? No. Okay. I'd send their bus to Russia, get our people back here. Okay. And then do it for them. Because this guy sitting in a German prison, okay, that's Vadim, and Victor Boot, he's over here in the United States, all right? Get rid of him. Let him go. Because I tell you something right now, because the way prisons are right now and the way guards are being bribed and things like that, who's to say they still aren't, especially Victor, he isn't doing business behind bars? Who said? Who?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
So you let him go to Russia, and he's going to be, he can't go into any other country unless it's North Korea or maybe even China. And I don't know about Saudi Arabia, but I tell you what, there are people that will be looking for him. So I would definitely let them go and get Brittany Griner home. I think that if United States and Germany got together and let these guys go, I think she could be home before Christmas. I really think so. Because apparently, if Russia wasn't ready to deal, they wouldn't. Well, you know, you really can't trust Russia. You really can't trust them at all. You know, I talk about that grain deal that they had between Ukraine and I think Turkey had negotiated that deal too to allow their ships of grain to go through the Black Sea, and Russia bombed them. Okay, so but anyway, you can't trust those clowns. But anyway, back to that. I don't know. I see Mark's picture. I mean, he's on the screen there. Mark. Okay, continue, Mill.
Okay. All right. So we're back on the Kyler Murray contract, and like I said, if I'm Kyler Murray, I would not want to play for Arizona. I would not, because this is too much. There's too much drama in this off season. That's been stuff that should have been behind closed doors that has just been leaking out everywhere, from his attitude, the way he plays, to his body language on the field, to him bumping heads in contract negotiations. They saying he needs to grow up, he's being childish, things of that nature. All that stuff, man, if a real organization, that stuff is not going to leak out. I mean, and it does happen to every organization, but we only hear about this because for the Arizona Cardinals. Why? Because they got a rat in the building that's keep leaving it out. Well, yeah. And there's another one I need to, and while we on some, if another athlete down that I kind of respect, I'm pretty fond of, that needs to ask for a trade. It's Jaylen Brown.
Yes, well, he's asking for it now.
No, if I'm this is my point. If I'm Kyler Murray and I'm Jaylen Brown, I would ask to be traded. Because this has been the most disrespectful all season to those two individuals out of anybody in sports. These two are the most disrespected. Kyler Murray with his organization, and with Jaylen Brown with the Boston Celtics. Every time a hot name talking about they want a new change of scenery, Boston is throwing Jaylen Brown's name in the hat. Every time. After a while, you got to say to yourself, I'm like, yo, what do I have to do to prove that I'm worth it to you? If you're constantly throwing me into trade talks, then that's pretty much telling me that I'm not going to get no contract extension with you guys.
Okay.
And you saying Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that's not a good tandem. And they went all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yep.
Primarily because of Jaylen Brown. He led the team in scoring. He showed up every night. Where was Jason Tatum though? I didn't see a lot of Jason Tatum in the third and fourth quarters.
Well, Tatum got the Eastern Conference MVP, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And at that time, I think I mentioned to you, I thought Jaylen Brown should have gotten it.
Yes, you did.
Okay. So what happened?
Team light skin? I'm sorry. I don't know.
You know what?
They said a long time ago, light skin brothers was making a comeback, and finally it is here.
Hey, you know what? hey. You know what?
Light-skinned brothers finally made that comeback.
That light-skinned brother did not show up in the finals.
No, he did not.
Now, I do. Yeah, you know, he had some good games, but mainly I think I'm going to have to give him a little break because of his shoulder.
I can't give him a break. It's the finals. It's the finals.
Okay, all right. Okay.
If Mark is not going to give Scottie Pippen the pass for having migraines and things of that nature, we cannot give Jason Tatum a pass. Hey, it's the finals. Suck it up. Get it done. Sorry.
Now, what was it? That was his right shoulder.
I don't care which shoulder it was. It's the finals.
Well, you're a tough negotiator. I'm telling you that right now.
That's what we paid you those millions for. That's why you got the best shoe on the market right now. Take for the finals. Get it done.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Don't let your teammates outscore you.
Right.
Don't let them show more heart than you had.
Uh-huh.
Don't let them, give you, don't let them out effort you.
Okay. I got you. I understand that perfectly clear.
But if I'm Jaylen Brown, yo, enough is enough. Y'all, I'm tired of y'all throwing me in these trade rumors and things of that nature. It's time for me to bounce.
I tell you what, they let him go. He got a job tomorrow. Somebody, absolutely. Look, and there's a bunch of teams that could use a Jaylen Brown. And let me ask you a question.
He would get more buzz than Kyrie.
Uh-huh.
He would get more trade buzz than Kevin Durant.
Uh-huh.
He would get more trade buzz than LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook.
Uh-huh.
Because he does not have that excess baggage, and his contract is way more negotiable.
Right.
So he would be a hot commodity to trade. He is very tradable. Everybody else that we talking about in trade rumors, you can't trade him.
Uh-huh.
Russell Westbrook, nobody want that contract.
No.
Don't Kyrie ain't vaccinated. He can't play in LA.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Anthony Davis, I mean, no, you got to prove that you're healthy.
Okay.
I mean, they'll pay for Anthony Davis. They ain't going to pay for street clothes, Davis. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question there. Russell Westbrook, he still got another year, right?
He got one more year at that whopping
million dollars.
Yeah, that's kind of rich right there.
That is very rich. Yep. Now.
And ain't nobody trying to come up off of it.
Who would?
And LeBron, and this is my thing. Since we were talking about the Lakers. We talking about those Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh,
Let me just say this. Cause see, the thing is right now, if you want to unload Russell Westbrook, you have to give up your 2027 and 2029 first round draft picks. All right. It's 2022. That's 5 years from now. LeBron and them ain't going to be there at 2029. More like LeBron's not going to be there.
Right.
And you have already given LeBron and them the keys. You could have had DeMar DeRozan. Y'all went with LeBron's choice. LeBron wanted Russell Westbrook. Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron wanted Russell Westbrook. LeBron wanted Anthony Davis. LeBron wanted Carmelo Anthony, who might be going to Golden State. We're gonna keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron wanted these guys here. LeBron wanted Brandon Ingram gone. Lonzo Ball gone. Alex Caruso gone.
Mistake. All of that.
And so if I'm Jenny Buss, I'm like, hey, I paid you all this money and made all the moves you wanted me to make. I'm not giving up those draft picks. I paid y'all this money. Y'all deal with it.
I wouldn't give up those draft picks either.
I ain't giving up. I don't care if we tank for the next couple of seasons. Because guess what? With you guys, you got Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook on one team. If with you or without you, we suck anyway. We
sucked anyway. Now, let me ask you a question. Who, like you said, right now, there's nobody chopping at the bits to get Russell Westbrook.
Oh, no.
Okay. And do you think and let's give him another year here. Do you think in 2024 somebody will still be looking at him? Or they're not even looking at him now. Now he's a year older.
They might be looking at him later. They might be looking at him then, but now they know $47
million. They're not no $47 million. No. Matter of fact, I don't know whether I would give him 20.
Yeah, he might not. His next contract ain't going to be like that. It might be four.
It could be.
It might be the four or the seven, but it ain't going to be the 47.
Look, I'm telling you that. Now, I might give him seven. I might. But, you know, and as a matter of fact, I don't know what happened because when Russell Westbrook, they said, oh, Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers. I said, wow, okay. Because up until now, I did have some respect for Russell Westbrook. And especially now when he was with OKC, man, look, that dude, boy, To me, I said, wow, nobody plays as hard as he does, right?
And see, the thing about it is that his game ain't changed. Russell Westbrook.
But he's not as effective now.
He's not as effective because the basket moved. He's doing the same things all over again. Every season, he has not changed his game one bit. Well, see, it's just the basket moves. Sometimes the ball goes in, sometimes it don't. But look, Russell Westbrook has been playing the same thing. And I've been telling you guys, I told y'all from the beginning, this was not going to work.
Well, the thing about it is, if you looked at it, he turned the ball over than just about anybody I can think of.
And he's been doing it the whole time. That's why KD left him. That's why Chris Paul couldn't deal with him. That's why James Harden couldn't deal with him no more.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's been the same. He's balling the same way his entire career. He has not changed, and he is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they say this one more year, then the Lakers can make some moves. But they is not giving up off those picks. LeBron, hey, y'all got to figure it. I don't care how it gets done, but figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there's Mark. Mark. Okay, we still have no volume from you, Mark.
He's not on mute.
No, he's not.
Not here. Okay. No, it's on his end.
Okay. So, like I said, if I'm in LA,
right?
Onk just texted. What happened, Onk? He says not. It's LeBron and Coach, not Russell.
Oh, no. Who is that, your uncle?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
And not Russell? Are you watching the same game we're watching? Loke? Tone Loke? Are you watching the same game we're watching? Are we watching the same Russell Westbrook? Because it is Russell Westbrook. The whole team stinks. There's no coordination there. I mean, they don't play like a team. It's all like balls to the wall, every man for himself type of situation. And there is no unity. I don't think as much. The coach, it could be if the coach is not getting any respect. Okay. I don't think that's it, Mill. Hey, Mark. Okay. I don't know what's happening on his end over there. Mark. Okay. Okay. I think Mark is trying to say something here. Mark. And we're not getting any volume from him. Okay, let me see. I'm going to get Cave in the meantime. Keep going. Let's see what's happening.
All right, so speaking of the Lakers, I had to holler at Unc hollered me earlier this week, Dad. And he sent me an article about Charles Woodson. And Charles Woodson, Hall of Fame cornerback for the Raiders and the Packers. And he's telling me, and an article was saying that, you know, Charles Woodson is saying LeBron should trade for Kevin Durant. Now, I have no idea how this is going to happen. But there's no way I would package that. Now, on the other hand, if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, what the hell am I doing? Can you imagine Giannis with KD, Kevin Durant, and Giannis? Who's stopping that? Huh? Who's stopping that? Who's stopping that, Mark? Who's stopping that, Dad? Nobody. Nobody whatsoever. Nobody's going to stop that. Kevin Durant, Giannis, and I get you probably have to give up Chris Middleton. You probably have to give up some draft picks, some draft capital. But nobody wants to come to Milwaukee anyway. So why not make that trade? And if Kevin Durant, Mark just logged back off.
Okay.
And if I'm Kevin Durant, and you really want to talk about winning. Going to a winning franchise, who's going to a contender, and he's not saying Milwaukee. Come on. Nah, something else has got to be, something's got to give. I mean, Wisconsin is marketable enough. You got the Packers there. You got the Brewers there. They generate revenue. They make plenty of money. There's plenty of stuff to go around in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, in Green Bay. And then, yeah, you make enough money anyway. You can just fly to the action. So why not Milwaukee? Because if I'm the Bucks, I'm kicking the tire. I got to see what I can do on it. I got to see what I can do on that air. Because I give up Drew. Would I give up Drew Holiday? Would I give up Drew Holiday in that deal? Probably so. For Kevin Durant, yeah, I'll probably give up everybody except for Giannis. Whoever they want. I would give them up for Giannis.
Next time Mark joins, you should be able to hear him.
All right. Good. So, it's 6:53. We got about one more hour left in this sports. And I'm going to get into some. I'm really going to give my dad. I'm really going to ruffle my dad's feathers now. It's about to be on. I saw an article on Facebook earlier this week, right? And it was talking about ball handlers. Some of the, you know, the best ball handlers in the NBA. We got, yo, Mark.
Yo, can you hear me, Mel?
Yes. Mark Daniels is in the building. Yes, I can finally hear you, bro. I missed you. I hate to sound like an ex-wife.
Oh, no, you good.
I hate to sound like an ex-girlfriend that screwed up, but I missed you, brother.
What's happening?
Oh man, you know how it is out here. I think you in Texas, right? You know it's fight night, right?
Yeah. No, I'm actually in California today, but yeah, we got the big fights coming up tonight.
Yeah, and I ain't talking about WWE and SummerSlam. You know, I love my wrestling, but
we got Amanda Nunes.
Yes, my girl, the Lioness, and Juliana Pena. Now I can't wait to see this fight. I cannot wait to see this fight. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm gonna be honest with you. When I seen Amanda Nunes, she's my favorite fighter. But when I seen her, you know, they show the players in the arenas, walking into the arena and all that. She didn't look like she was focused, man. She came in there walking with her girl and their little girl. And she was just, this is, to me, it didn't seem like she was focused. And it showed. I don't know, this pain is tough though, man. I'll tell you what, this kind of defines Amanda Nunes' career tonight. She got to win this fight. Because I'm starting to think, and you know this, Mill, if she's gotten into that, if she's been got her mindset locked into that family life now, and she doesn't know how to separate the two, she's going to have problems.
Yes, and she got another belt to defend, too.
Yeah, so it could be that she's starting to put on more weight, and this is killing her to come down and wait. I mean, I'm trying to make up any excuse I can for her at this point, because she just didn't look focused that last fight.
Everybody got their match. Every dog has it. Everyone has that one person, that one fighter that figured them out. They got their number. And Juliana Pena might be the one that has Amanda Nunes' number, because you gotta think, if you wanna beat Amanda Nunes, you gotta be able to withstand her stand up game and get her to the ground. Because that's her bread and butter. I mean, I'm not saying that she can't handle herself on the ground, but you know, she's just such a phenomenal striker that, you know, that's the bread and butter for Arsenal. But she can't get on the ground. But that's what Juliana Pena strives at. So everybody has that match. It's like take Ronda Rousey for instance. Ronda Rousey has terrible stand up. And the key to be, and people couldn't figure, and girls could not figure her out until they figured, hey, if we can keep this thing on our feet, then we have a chance against her. So we'll flip it over to the other side. If you can withstand and Amanda Nunes' striking game and get her to the ground, That's where you have your opportunity. Not a lot of fighters have that skill set. Pena does.
Yes, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm a big Amanda Nunez fan.
Yeah, I am too.
But I ain't gonna lie, this Pena can fight, man. It's
Everybody has that one, especially in MMA. Everybody has that one person. Like Curtis Blaydes, who was it? He can't beat Francis Ngannou. I think I got that right. He went 0-3 against him. Tito Ortiz, he could not beat Chuck Liddell for nothing to save his life in their prime.
There's certain people you can fight 7 days a week and you can lose every day too. It's just the way
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. And I think this is the case right here. I don't think, I'm a fan of hers, but I think Payne is going to retain again.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. You know, with Francis Ngannou, I truly believe that Cyril Gane has his number. He just didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was afraid of getting hit. He was afraid of getting caught. He beat him in every aspect of that fight.
Yes, he did.
But I think he was afraid. He was fighting to not get hit.
And you know, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah. And I mean, then you got another fight. Then you got Danny Garcia coming back. He should be able to. He should win. He's fighting Jose Benavidez. David Benavidez, his brother. He should blow him out. I mean, that's just my opinion. He should blow him out. But yeah, I'm inclined about this fight tonight because I ain't gonna lie, I'm worried because I don't know if Amanda Nunes can beat this girl. And the heart part of me is saying that Amanda Nunes, but the realistic side is saying this girl Pena is gonna win. I hate to say it, but she's got that hunger right now. Amanda's already been there, and I just think there's a little difference. I think,
yeah, just take this for instance. Imagine this. Let me put this in perspective. All right, we just seen the rise and fall somewhat of Deontay Wilder. Could not be beaten until he met Tyson Fury.
Well, you want to know something? I'll put it to you like this. That's another one where he could fight this dude every day. He ain't going to ever beat him.
Right.
I mean, and you know what's weird? He actually, this dude fades too quick. There's two dudes that I've seen that actually beat him. I mean, Tyson Fury and Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz always ends up getting caught. But until he gets caught, I remember one time he had Wilder almost out of there. And, of course, he got caught the next round, and that was it. And, there's always that one, brother. There's always that one. I mean, hey, Muhammad Ali has Joe Frazier's, it's always that one.
All right, Tyson had Holyfield.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard had Hearns. It's always that one that's going to give you a problem. You know, Floyd had it with the dude you wouldn't expect to have with, but he had it. So, I mean, it does happen.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao had a couple of them too.
Well, yeah, Juan Manuel Marquez.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. I remember was one of them that just couldn't do it. I mean, he could not get over it. All right, so I'm glad you're here, Mark. I had to get a little fight night and a little boxing in there. So I was just about to go over. I got another top 10 list for you. Did I go over the top 10 wide receivers? I think. I got top 10 wide receivers. I'm going to do that later. I got top 10 lockdown corners. But I also, what I'm going to talk about now is my top 10 ball handlers, which I got to find out where I did. Oh, here it goes. Here it goes. And y'all know my dad WB is lurking around here. Now this top 10, I know he hears this, so this top 10 ball handlers list is going to bring him back to the table because he's going to have a lot to say about this. And yes, this is my top 10 ball handlers. Now when I say ball handlers, Mark, I'm talking about guys that skip. Now, I'm not talking about just dishing rock and just, you know, sis. This has nothing to do with stats per se. I mean, stats have something to do with it, but stats is not going to be the main cause of this argument. I'm talking about the guys that show the skill of actually handling the basketball. You know, the crossover dribbling, the spin moves, and things like, you know, the flash, the flare, everything that we love about basketball. So this is my top 10 ball hands, guys that's going to break your ankles and look good doing it. And I'm going to start at number 10. Rafer Austin. Now this is just not today. I mean, this is not of all time, but this is of my time. So Unc Pistol Pete is not on this list. I'm sorry, because he is not of my time. Okay, of all time, yeah. I never saw Pistol Pete play, so I can't put him on this list, because this is done strictly off the eye test, And I got Rafer Skip to my Lou Austin. Now, he's at number 10. And one quick shout out to Cowboy Shorty, because as soon as I say Skip to my Lou, he's going to say another Skip to my Lou by the name of Skip Wise. You know, street ball legend, Rucker Park, one of the street legends out there. But Rafer Austin was one. He was part of the N1 mixtape crew. And one of the best ball handlers I've seen with my own two eyes. And His name on the street court, on the street ball court, rings volumes. He left when it came to the NBA, he did leave a lot of meat on the table. I thought I was expecting a whole lot more out of Rafer Austin once he got to the NBA. He was part of that Orlando Magic team with Dwight Howard and Jameer Nelson.
Yeah, but anyway, let me tell you something about that though. See, who was the coach for the Orlando Magic when they lost to the Lakers at that point?
I think it was Van Gundy.
He made a big mistake.
I think it was Fat Van Gundy.
Yeah, he made a mistake. Because, see, he was going with Jameer Nelson, who, in my opinion, I love Jameer Nelson, but he wasn't doing much. And Rafer Austin actually, to me, was the guard that had got him to that finals. And he got to the finals and went away from what got him there. And that's what caused him problems for him.
That's right, because he was electric. I mean, when I say handles, I mean, y'all look up Skip to my Lou, man. This dude was a beast. This dude
He's
was a
bad dude.
Beast.
He's a, but Mill, you're going to laugh when I say this. But go ahead. I want to hear your top 10 list. But I'll tell you where I put him at. But go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I know this is going to get controversial. This is going to get a little disrespectful.
No. It's not controversial, but.
Oh, no, not yet. Not yet, Mark. Not yet. Say your blood pressure. Because okay. I'm looking at, I said WB's lurking in the background. I'm looking at that, waiting to see his reaction. Number 9, I got Jason Kidd. Now, Jason Kidd is the least flashiest out of these top 10 ball hands I got on this list. He is the least flashiest. But I do got respect for his ball hand skills. I feel like he is magical. He was one of those guys that like had eyes in the back of his head and also eyes with the basketball. It just found with Jason Kidd, look, the way I loved his ball hand, the ball just found its way where it needed to go. And I said magical. So at number 8, you know, I got to put my guy, Irvin Magic Johnson. Yes. Ball hand. I mean, the name says it itself. Magic.
He changed the way the game was played.
Exactly. I mean, it's not so much I can put on. I've seen it with my own two eyes. Not whatever I say, I still can't do it justice. The way he handled the ball. In the air, on the ground, where he dribbles, the way he facilitates, it was just like poetry in motion. I mean, everybody before Michael Jordan, in my era, like I said, this is my time. Before they were Jordan, everybody was trying to copy, everybody was trying to emulate what Magic does. Fast break, no look pass. The best that I ever do it. And this is where it gets a little disrespectful. Number 7, I got James Harden. James Harden. I'm talking about ball handling. The guy has the hands. He does have that. He does break ankles. It's just the Euro step. I don't like the Euro step, but he does it to perfection. So, yes, I know. So number six, I gotta put Steph Curry. Now, six through one, it gets a little dicey. And I put Steph at six. Now, if you want to put Steph at five, that's fair, whatever. But Steph Curry, he does belong on this list. And, I mean, the highlights just speak for itself. The way he dances with it, and the way he creates space, the way he creates shots, the way he creates for everybody else. I mean, Steph Curry, his handles and the ankles that I've seen him break, he definitely deserves to be in the top, to be in this top 10. And with number five, I have one Kyrie Irving. Now, yes, Kyrie, we talking about ball handlers, and he is so wicked. The closer he gets to the basket, the way he finishes at the rim, he's like one of the best in the league. He is top tier today. And for number four, I got to put my boy Allen Iverson. Yeah, I got to put Bubba Chuck on this list. The way I've seen him from high school, from college to the pros, all the ankles that he has broken, and the crossover scene around the world when he did with Jordan. Yes, he has to be on his list. Number four is Allen Iverson. Number three, one of the greatest six men of all time, Jamal Crawford. Now y'all seen the highlights. 20 years, he just announced his retirement this year. And still, he probably still can go a couple more years. Some of the greatest handles I've ever seen in my life. Behind the back, around the front, basic crossover between legs. He does it all, mid-range game. But we talking about the handle, so he's at number three. Jamal Crawford's number three. Number two, I gotta put White Chocolate Jason Williams. Some of the greatest NBA highlights of all time. Some of the greatest highlights in the All-Star game of all time. Having Jason Williams doing something magical with The Rock. He's number two. And my number one has to be the killer crossover himself. One, Mr. Tim Hardaway. He's gotta be my number one. The inventor of the killer crossover. Best to ever do it. That's my top 10. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I mean, that's your error, so I mean, I understand it. But my error would probably be like this. Number 10, I'm putting Bob Cousy. I don't know if you ever seen any highlights of this dude. He was a bad dude. William, you was a Boston fan. He was unbelievable with the ball.
He was. No question about it.
Number 9. You know, I'm thinking of my era. You have Bob Cousy. Number 9, we got to go with my groove brother, Black Jesus, Earl Monroe.
Earl the Pearl.
Got to put him in there. Brother was bad with that rock. Number 8, you know, and I'm trying to be fair and look at, you know, at the point guards. I got to go with Tiny Nate Archibald. Dude was amazing with the rock.
Mm-hmm.
7. No, 7, I'm going to go with Tim Hardaway. I mean, he's phenomenal with his crossover. Number 6, number 6, I'm going to put Jason Kidd because he was phenomenal. Number 5, I won't put a guy in there nobody put in, kind of surprised, because they kind of forget about his career. I'm going Mark Jackson. The dude can handle the rock. Number 4, I'm going to go with Allen Iverson. Phenomenal ball handler. Number three for me. It gets kind of tricky there. Number three, if I'm going to go to guy number three, handling the ball, what I seen. I'm going to go with a guy they used to call the Wizard, Gus Williams.
I remember Gus.
He's played with the Seattle Supersonics. Number two, I'm going to go with the Magic Man. First dude I ever seen, 6'9", held the Rockets, do the stuff he did. And this one's kind of unfair to you, Mill, because you've never seen this dude play.
I haven't seen half you guys play.
But this dude was probably the greatest ball handler that's ever lived. You know, I might take one out because Rafer Alston needs to be, I'm telling you, he's 1A to me. But the best ball handler ever, in my opinion, was Marcus Haynes, who played for the Harlem Globetrotters. The most phenomenal, William, you got to remember him.
I do.
The most phenomenal ball handler I've ever seen, period. And I was a little kid. Hey, man, they talk about how this dude, and there's people that I'm leaving out because, I got, you know, your Gary Payton.
The glove.
I mean, I hate to do that. Like I said, I have to put Rafer Alston in there because, hey, man, this dude did some phenomenal stuff with that rock that
it was just straight magical.
It didn't translate to an – it translated because he went to the NBA. But sometimes street ball and organized ball is two different levels. And he had a successful career, but it wasn't what everybody anticipated because that street ball don't work in the NBA. There's people, like I said, you know, I look at him. I look at Maurice Cheeks. I mean, my era, you said white chocolate in your era. I look at that era. You know, like you say, you got your Steph Currys. There's guys that's left out because it's just too hard when you talk top 10. I mean, you had some guys in the ABA, man, your Freddie Lewis, Roger Brown. It's just so many of them that it's hard for me to have a top 10 with the ham because they're white chocolate. I mean, there's just too many.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys dumb. I left off too. I left off John Morant. I left off Baron Davis.
Oh, yes, you did.
I left off Baron Davis.
No, William, for them guys, I don't feel like Baron Davis yet. John, he got to get a little more time. But, I mean, we leaving off guys, and this is more your era, William, than mine. You had guys like Super John Williamson. He used to play with the Nets.
I left off Trey Young.
Yeah,
these guys what I was thinking about, but I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna leave. I gotta leave somebody off."
But you know what? And I'm probably doing a disservice to Nate Archibald because, you know, before all this different stuff happening, he was the last point guard to lead the league in scoring. When he's with the Kansas City Omaha King, hey, Nate was averaging 30 a game. I mean, he was unbelievable. You know, it's hard because there's just too many. And see, I do like to pay respect to that older era because I'm telling you, I didn't know. He was way before me, but I saw films of Bob Cousy. And I'm thinking this dude could have probably got down in today's game because if they had a Rucker Park back there, I'm pretty sure he'd have put on a show. This dude could go. It's just so many of them. I'm curious to see what William says, but there's so many that it's hard. I mean, I'm not going to push back on your picks because, I mean, those dudes can handle the rock. Again, I try to pay homage to those guys that paved the way for these guys that's doing this now. And trust me, it used to be you had to have a phenomenal point guard and you had to have a great center. Everybody else just fell into place.
Right.
And that's, you know.
And I think the Bulls, I think the Bulls broke the mold on that because, I mean, you had Ron Harper, you had B.J. Armstrong, you had John Paxson. Those weren't great point guards. They were serviceable. But they weren't great point. They're not going to be in anybody's top 10 list for anything to deal with point guards. They're just going to be the guys that was on the Bulls that got rings.
And you know who else we left off? Oh, God, I'm sorry. But I got to think about Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, I left Isaiah Thomas off.
And I got to slide him in there somewhere, and I think Gus Williams is just going to have to slide down. Because Zeke was phenomenal with the ball. I can't leave that man out of it. There's no way. I mean, like I said, in that era, you had guys like Isaiah. Every team had a good point guard then. You know, God, it's tough. I mean, I don't know what the word, you know, Dennis Johnson, DJ, had a nice game. I mean, Mo Cheeks, I mean, man.
Mo Cheeks was bad. There's no question about it, man.
Pistol Pete Maravich, I mean.
Yeah, I left Pistol Pete off, man.
And I keep saying them ABA guys. People don't realize the ABA has some bad dudes. It's hard. That's a hard one, man.
He was before my time. Was the Iceman a point guard or a two guard?
No, he was 6'7". He was a shooting guard.
Okay.
Like I said, the Indiana Pacers had Roger Brown. Yeah, Freddie Lewis. Man, there was some bad dudes. You had Archie Clark. Remember him, William?
Vaguely. Yeah. No, I really vaguely.
Yeah, you had Archie Clark to play for the Bullets. I mean, you had some great, I mean, you had some phenomenal ball handlers out there. It's, you know, I don't know. I look at Randy Smith that used to play with Bob McAdoo when he's with the Buffalo Braves.
I remember him.
I mean, Kevin Porter used to play with the Washington Bullets.
Where would you rank Damian Lillard as far as ball handling?
I got him at number 4.
You know what? With Damian Lillard, I guess because he's such a phenomenal shooter, I forget he's a point guard.
Another one that's right in front of our face, Luka Doncic.
He is.
Yeah,
for a big man, what is he about? What is he? He's 6'7", 6'8".
6'8".
It's not flashy, but it's not as flashy, but his ball handling is phenomenal, and it is so effective because it's so unorthodox.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's why I say it's so many. Hey, William, back in the day, you had Derek Harper used to play at the Dallas Mavericks and the Knicks. I mean, you had some dudes that could handle that ball. Norm Nixon could handle the rock. I mean, you had.
Terrell Brandon, I left him off.
Yeah, he was pretty nice.
I tell you something. Yeah. Somebody else that everybody seemed to have gotten by was Steve Nash could handle that rock.
Yeah, two-time MVP.
Yeah, Steve Nash.
Derrick Rose.
Yes. Yes, he could. Hey, John Stockton.
Our air, Williams. World Be Free.
Oh man, I forgot about that cat, man. Now,
hey man, that dude was bad with the rock.
Okay, and I'm surprised this cat isn't on either one of y'all lists. That's Oscar Robertson.
But you want to know something? The Big O wasn't flashy. You know, I mean,
the Big O.
He wasn't.
That's right.
He wasn't flashy, but he could average you a triple double. I don't.
Mike Conley can handle the rock.
Yeah, whenever he plays, the dude lists 67 games a year.
And I don't like this cat either, Chris Paul.
John Stockton could handle the rock.
John Stockton could definitely handle the rock. There's no question about it. Now, also, I look at the guys handling the ball versus the turnover. And, Mill, how disrespectful, where did you have Magic?
I knew this was coming.
Where did you have Magic?
I had Magic at number 8.
I didn't even wear. Oh Lord, no! Now I look at the ball handlers, Mark and Mill, and then I look at the guys who held the ball and who turned it over the least. Right? It's hard for me to remember when Magic turned over the ball. He didn't turn over the ball a lot either.
No, it was Magic.
But see, if you remember these days, when the Lakers used to play in the 80s, of course, I was still going through school and all that in high school, growing up, going into. Anyway, I remember the thing they used to do. My dad had a shortwave radio. And when you could get the Laker game on regular TV, we turned the TV down and listen to Chick Earn broadcast the game.
Right.
And he used to let me stay up just because I had to see magic. I never seen nobody do what this dude did.
That's right.
It's funny because my best friend I grew up with, Nate Banks, he still got the scorebook for when he and I sat down in his kitchen. There's a TV in his kitchen. We downstairs in the kitchen watching that Michigan State, Indiana State game as kids, and we kept a scorebook.